You alumni continue to ask us old-timers about our lives at Agnes Scott, and I must admit I have a lot of stories I like to share with you whenever you happen to come back to the campus. For example, one of my early experiences made a lasting impression on me. I had arrived several days before the opening of the session in 1913. On my first night here, I was walking through a very dark and deserted campus, whistling softly to myself to keep from being lonely. I was shocked to be stopped by a huge man who demanded my name. I replied with great dignity that I was S.G. Stukes and that I had come to teach psychology. That meant nothing to a night watchman, I soon found. He told me that young men were not allowed to walk through the campus at night, even if they were on the faculty. And he added that whistling was not allowed at any time. I learned later that the students called this night watchman the Evening Star. It is possible that Mr. Star thus interrupted a career in whistling. I'm sure he made me a better campus citizen. I have never whistled since. Alumni are often surprised to hear that before my marriage in 1925, I lived in several campus cottages with other bachelors. We first had our meals in Rebecca Scott dining room. It was the custom to have a faculty member at each student table. We men had a wonderful time presiding over the tables, but evidently it was not wonderful for the girls. They soon rebelled against the system, and faculty tables were substituted. When I started teaching at Agnes Scott, the same department included courses in philosophy, Bible, psychology, and later education. Now there is a separate department for each of these subjects, with a staff of 3 teaching courses in psychology. I am frankly proud of the work being done. In 1916, I was given a leave of absence to go to Yale as a teaching fellow. Before I returned, the war came on, and I did a stint in the Air Corps. 1919 found me back at Agnes Scott. I became registrar in 1923 when Dr. McCain was made president. After the death of Miss Hopkins in 1938, Miss Scandrett was made dean of students, and I dean of the faculty. As academic dean, I have experienced a deep satisfaction from the close association with students as well as with the faculty. It is gratifying to have students come to me with their varied problems, learning to study, making better grades, planning graduate study, preparing for a profession. A real inspiration has come from simply knowing the type of girl we have at Agnes Scott. I listen to deans from other colleges tell of their struggles to hold up standards, and I rejoice in the standards of our own faculty and in the way in which students meet these standards. And now I'm in my 42nd year at Agnes Scott. Of the 3,392 BA graduates to date, I have seen all but 85 walk across the stage for the diploma at commencement. The sight of each one has given me a sense of pride and also a sense of humility, for after all, I've played such a minor part in the life here. While the college surely has the big place in my heart, I have enjoyed community activities, especially with the Red Cross, the Community Chest, and other agencies. And I feel that my 20 years as teacher of a men's Bible class have been fruitful too. My life has been full and varied and very happy. The alumni have had a great part in making it so.
I'm sure that Agnes Scott alumni will be happy to hear from Miss Frances K. Gooch, teacher of speech and director of Blackfriars from 1915 to 1951.
Thank you, Roberta. You may not know that I came to the college as a member of the English department to establish a speech program. Dr. Armstead, head of the English department, thought that college women should excel in good diction, pleasant voices, and the ability to speak and read beautifully. That first year, I had 7 or 8 private students and the whole sophomore class for a semester course in speech. In October, we organized Blackfriars, the dramatic club, and I was quite busy from then on.
The development of Blackfriars was one of your great contributions to Agnes Scott.
I'm glad you think so. The purpose of the club was threefold. First, to give speech students a chance to try out their ability to speak and act. Second, to set standards of taste in drama. And third, to offer wholesome entertainment for the college community. We had nothing to start with, you know. I made scenery, costumes, floodlights, and every sort of stage property. Until the gymnasium was built in 1926, the only stage we had was the little platform in the old chapel in Rebecca Scott.
You didn't even have men to play the men's roles, did you?
No. And we had to concoct all kinds of costumes for the girls appearing as men. Usually, it was a short, tight skirt and a coat borrowed from some man of the faculty. Dr. Gaines was strongly opposed to anything that savored of trousers, as he put it.
Under your direction, Miss Gooch, Blackfriars often brought favorable recognition to Agnes Scott. I'm sure there are many instances you like to recall.
Yes. For example, we had great success with Pink and Patches, the folk play that Margaret Bland Sewell wrote in Miss Nan Stevens' playwriting class. So we took it to the National One-Act Play Contest in New York in 1928 and won the first prize for the best production of an unpublished play. A great feather in Agnes Scott's cap, everyone said.
What was your first full-length play for Blackfriars?
A Midsummer Night's Dream. We put it on out of doors under the big tree in front of Dr. Gaines' house, which stood on the site of the present dining hall. Long limbs hung very low in those days and made excellent stage property for Puck to play on.
Did you wash your hands of the play even in those days, Miss Gooch?
No, but the students had had only 1 year to develop technique of speech and action, so I just sort of put the lines into the players, spoonful by spoonful.
Well, that was one way of teaching them, wasn't it?
Yes, but it was more like coaching than teaching, which I didn't like to do. But I taught them to relax, to think in their bodies, to feel tone as well as to hear it, and, of course, to move and speak in character. It was great fun. The whole campus watched the rehearsals, and everyone started practicing correct breathing and good articulation. Miss Hopkins thought the results amazing.
You could always do wonders with a person's voice, Miss Gooch. I'm glad you didn't stop teaching when you retired.
Oh, I couldn't drop a vigorous career suddenly. Now that I live in Atlanta, among my students are older men and women, leaders in clubs and in business, young people of all ages, and some who are overcoming a foreign accent.
We miss you on the campus, Miss Gooch. I'm your most fortunate student, as I've been given the opportunity to succeed you. I hope I may mean to students in my day something of what you will always stand for in the minds of the alumni of your day. We appreciate all you've done for Agnes Scott.
And I, in turn, Roberta, am indebted to the alumni for their interest in me, not only through the years at Agnes Scott, but especially since my retirement. I often think of the lovely luncheon they gave me at my last commencement. And every day I enjoy the tape recorder they gave me the money for that last day. Oh, I have been repaid in many, many ways for my every effort during the 36 years I taught at Agnes Scott.